and wander from God.
Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Lord Jesus, this day, Lord. Thank you for everything you've given us. We give you all the praise and glory. Amen. Lord, thank you for your word. Yeah, Lord Jesus, thank you for your message. Lord, thank you for having mercy on us, Lord. Lord, just thank you for this air condition. You know, Lord Jesus, we thank you for that. You've given us so much. It's all about you. Lord, we just give a small portion back to you, Lord, and I ask you to just bless this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. All right. Amen. Here we are back again, going forward with it in Revelation chapter 9. But before we begin, are there anybody with praise or testimony? Praises or testimonies? Anybody? Yeah. Amen. All the healing. Yeah, outstanding, brother. Amen. Very good. Amen. Brother Marco, yeah. Yes. Amen. That's an awesome testimony. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yes. To bring salvation to her. That's awesome, man. Praise the Lord. That's a good word. Amen. Amen. All right. What else? Anything else? Yeah. Amen, brother. Of Christ. Amen. Amen. That's good, good, good. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. It hasn't gone out yet. It's holding together. Amen. Yeah, you don't want it to go out now. Yeah, better than ever. Amen. All right. That's a good praise. Have cool air. Yeah. Anybody else? Praise us. Yes, sir. Unseen, unknown blessings. Amen. That's good. Good, good, good. Outstanding. Anybody else? Praises or testimonies? All right. Well, let's take our Bibles and stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God in the book of Revelation. Begin reading here in verse 13, same passage we read last Sunday night. We will finish it this evening, or seek to finish it this evening as the Lord allows. Revelation chapter 9, beginning in verse 13. This is the sixth trumpet, the second installment on this sixth trumpet here. Have you found it this evening? Amen. Revelation chapter 9, beginning in verse 13, the Word of God reads this: Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, one saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." And the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released, so that they would kill a third of mankind. The number of the armies of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And this is how I saw in the vision the horses and those who sat on them. The riders had breastplates the color of fire and hyacinth and of brimstone. And the heads of the horses are like the heads of lions. And out of their mouths proceed fire and smoke and brimstone. A third of mankind was killed by these three plagues, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone, which proceeded out of their mouths. For the power of the horses is in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents and have heads, and with them they do harm. This is what we're going to be focusing on this evening, these last two verses. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, so as not to worship demons and the idols of gold and of silver and of brass and of stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their immorality, nor of their thefts. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. And as we prayed earlier, we pray we'd be able to receive it. God, your Holy Spirit would apply it. We would be washed by it, Lord. We would be made ready for a new week this coming week. And Lord, I pray that we would be in the middle of your will. We would seek you, Lord, in our prayer time. We would seek you in your word. We would seek to listen to you, God, what you would have us do as you want to speak to us through your word and through our times of prayer and as you want to speak to us through our inner man. And Lord, when you do speak, may we be like the Bereans and may we check it out in the word of God. May it line up with the word of God, Lord. We want to do your will and we want to do your way. Father God, thank you for this time that we have to, Lord, be in this place and be about what we're doing. We're attempting to bring glory and honor to your name as we worship you in word and in music and in giving and in praying. We love you tonight, Lord. We praise you for all that you do for us. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. And may he add his tremendous blessing to it. All right, the sixth trumpet, number two. Last time we looked at this, we talked about the release of demons. That is the four demons that were released from the river Euphrates. And then we had a pretty long discussion on the demonic army for killing, verses 16 through 19. And we talked about how that's demons. We said you can certainly take that if you want to take that as a human army. We talked about the logistics of that, how that would be a very difficult thing to do. But whatever, it's all going to pan out in the end. That's not a doctrine to divide on, absolutely not at all. As we continue on with these last two verses, verses 20 and 21, we've talked about the release of demons, we've talked about a demonic army for killing, and as we close it out tonight, this sixth trumpet, we're going to say it is a time of depraved activity, a time of depraved activity. We are told very clearly that these four demons, they unleash this vast demon army upon the earth. One-third of all the people living on the earth will be killed. And you would think, if you were a thinking man, a thinking woman, a thinking individual, you would think that the death and destruction on this kind of a scale would cause mankind to look within his heart, acknowledge his sins, and turn in repentance toward God and receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what you would think. However, those who survive the carnage continue on in their sins, refusing to repent. These verses we have before us this evening are a clear x-ray, a clear CT scan. I mean, these are clear scan of the condition of the human heart, of the human heart. We can long to find good in man if we wish. I mean, we can try to do that. But man is totally depraved. Man is totally depraved. He is a hopeless sinner, and apart from the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is not good in man at all. How many of you believe that? Would you show a raise of hands if you believe that? I mean, that really is a doctrine to divide on right there, the doctrine of depravity of man. Take your Bibles and look at Romans chapter 3 with me. Romans chapter 3. Romans 3, beginning at about verse 10. Romans 3, beginning in verse 10, if you found it. The Word of God reads, "As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God, because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For though the law comes, through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned. We end it with a verse you all know, right? 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's what we mean when we talk about total depravity. Every human, lost, we're talking lost here, every human carries within his heart the seeds of evil, and he or she is capable of committing any sin that can be imagined. Except for the grace of God go I. Except for the grace of God go I. Lest we think we're better than we actually are, lest we think better of ourselves than we should, the same capacity to plumb the depths of evil dwells in our hearts as well. Friend, if you're saved tonight, that's shouting ground. Amen? Because that power of sin, that power of evil, that power has been removed from you. You have the Holy Spirit now inside of you. If you're saved, amen, if you've received Christ is your personal Lord and Savior. As we think of this time of depraved activity, we want to see in this passage a few things. I think two major things we're going to look at. The first one is man is depraved in his worship. Verse 20. The rest of mankind who were not killed by those, right, or not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands so as not to worship demons and the idols of gold and of silver and of brass and of stone and of wood. I mean, it just goes on and on and on, right? Man is depraved in his worship. Given all the sin and chaos during the tribulation, one might think that the religious environment, you would think that the religious environment would be devoid of religious activity. As we will learn from this verse, as we look at it and study it, and from future passages on the tribulation as we go through the book of the Revelation, we will be reminded, we will see that this is a time marked by intense religious activity. But we all know here tonight that religion cannot save us, can it? Religion cannot save. Salvation takes faith in Jesus and his gospel message of his death, burial, and resurrection in order to pay for the penalty of our sin. See, this verse tells us that man is still a religious creature. Now, we know how we get there. I mean, there's a lot of religion today. Today, regardless of where you go in this world, you'll find people engaged in worship. From the darkest jungles of Africa and South America to the highest mountains in Asia to the great cities of Europe and America to the deserts of the Middle East, my friend, you will find people engaged in worship. Every culture, whether it is primitive, whether it is advanced, has some involvement with worship. And I love Brother Marco talks about this atheist young lady coming closer to salvation and actually attending church and having seeds of salvation sown in her life. Even the atheist worships. Even the atheist. He merely or she merely directs his or her worship toward himself or herself. This verse tells us that man is still a religious creature. This verse also tells us that religion in the tribulation period will be marked by the worship of demons and by the worship of material things. Don't miss that. Amen? Don't miss that. Men will be caught up in the worship of the occult. Well, how in the world does that happen? Well, if we are indeed in the last days, would you agree we are? I think we are. If we are indeed in the last days, then the increase in our day in the interest of the occult kind of lays the groundwork of what will go on during the Great Tribulation. In our time, there are so many movies, so much music and other popular media that provide an opportunity for many to learn more about the devil, demons, and Satanism. Brother Marco was sharing with us this past week during Teacher in Service that we actually had a former student attending this school, our Christian school next door, which is why this school is so important and why it is such a light in the community and why it is sometimes the only light that comes into a lost home, right? We had a former student over here. Her father took her to a Marilyn Manson concert. A Marilyn Manson concert. And Brother Marco told this student that this guy is flat out devil worshiper, makes no bones about it. And you said at least he's open about it, right? Right? And so the dad and the daughter went to the Marilyn Manson concert, and Brother Marco knew that this former student was going to tell her parent about what he had said. Brother Marco, I don't care. Tell him. Brother Marco got the report back. Little girl told her dad. You know what the dad did? He just laughed it off. That was a big joke to him. Big joke to him. That's the world we're living in. That's why this is going to happen during the last days. Does that make sense? Amen? Every Halloween, there seems to be several movies. I went to Kroger, I want to say yesterday. They've already got the jack-o'-lanterns out. Are you kidding me? School's starting and the jack-o'-lanterns are already out front, ready to be purchased. Every Halloween, I mean, boy, we're gearing up for Halloween already. Every Halloween, there seems to be several movies that champion the worst evil imaginable, all on the big screen, all tied to the occult, all rooted in the demonic. We think about our culture here in the United States of America. Witchcraft is becoming more popular than ever. And the numbers of practicing witches are increasing at an astonishing rate. I share with you just the intro of an article from Newsweek, Newsweek Online Magazine, dated, are you ready for this? It's not even a year old, November the 18th, 2018. Listen to how this article begins. It says, witchcraft and other pagan religious practices increased in the U.S. over the past few decades. You think? Yeah, that's right. With millennials turning to astrology and tarot cards as they turn away from Christianity and other traditionally dominant Abrahamic religions. The number of witches and Americans practicing Wicca religious rituals increased dramatically since the 1990s, with several recent studies indicating there may be at least 1.5 million witches across the country. A Trinity College study conducted in 1990 estimated only about 8,000 Wiccans in the U.S., but the increase has been led by a rejection of mainstream Christianity among young Americans, as well as a rise in occultism. So with 1.5 million potential practicing witches, as of 2018, November, not even a year ago, across the U.S., witchcraft has more followers than 1.4 million mainline members of the Presbyterian Church. That's where it's at today. All of this is leading toward the day when mankind will worship demons. And it's, you can summarize it as basic as three capital E's. Involvement with the occult begins with entertainment. That's how it always begins. People learn about the occult and begin to dabble in it. Oh, let's get a Ouija board. Oh yeah, let's do that seance. Oh, they did that in the movie. Let's get a party. We'll get some drinks and we'll do this. It'll be fun, right? Begins with entertainment. People learn about the occult and they begin to dabble in it. Then the occult moves into the arena of enlightenment. People then begin to seek answers and help for their problems in the world of the occult. Man, do you remember when we did that Ouija board thing? And boy, that thing really moved. You remember your hands moving around? Man, let's see if we can get an answer for this. And so they seek enlightenment. But then the occult, it moves into the area of enslavement. It begins with entertainment. It moves to enlightenment, but the occult moves into the area of enslavement. People get trapped in the system and are unable to get free from it. America and the rest of the world is headed in that direction this very moment. What's the point you're trying to make, preacher? I'm trying to make this point. If you reject God and His Son, Jesus Christ, then you have nothing left. Nothing left but Satan and his demonic. That's all you got if you reject Jesus and God the Father. Amen? See, man will also give his worship to gods of his own creation. Now, Revelation chapter 9, verse 20, in the CEV, the Contemporary English Version, is a popular version that Brother Malcolm Ellis likes to use whenever the King James Version is not quite clear, and my translation is sometimes not quite clear. I like to turn to this CEV, Contemporary English Version. Revelation 9:20 reads, "They kept on worshiping idols that were made of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood. Not one of these idols could see, hear, or walk." Not one of them, right? Now there's kind of a different way, a couple of different ways we can go here. This may either mean that man will make gods that he will bow down to and worship, or it could mean that he will give his worship to the material possessions of life. Man will worship his money. He'll worship his car. He'll worship his home. He'll worship his possessions. And even though he will give his love, his adoration, and his worship to these things, they are not gods at all, right? They cannot see him. They cannot hear him. They cannot move to help him. His worship of these things will not benefit him at all. And let me give you just one point of application here, and this may be a difficult thing to do. This may be a very difficult thing to do, but as I was praying through this and putting this together and thinking about what could we get out of this to take out of the doors tonight, to take out there into the world, as we go through the book of Revelation, every lost person you know, application here, every lost person you know should be, at one time or another, hopefully sooner than later, should be lovingly challenged to look at the God or gods he or she worships. Do you understand what I'm saying? To look at that person or thing that has their love, that has their adoration, that has their worship, you want to get around to asking the lost person, can your self-made God hear you when you pray? Can your God see you when you have a need? Can your God move to do something about your problem? If not, then you don't need a God with a little g. You need the God with a capital G. That's the God you need. Now, how you communicate that, how long it takes you to communicate that, but man, if you know somebody that's lost as a ball in high weeds, as we tend to say, I guarantee you, if they're lost, they're worshiping something, right? They're worshiping something. And so if you know them, love them, that discussion somehow needs to take place, and maybe they cut you off. Maybe they get offended. Maybe they get upset. But, hey, it's another opportunity that you've given them to face the truth and perhaps maybe repent. Maybe repent of their sin and maybe get a step closer to receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Amen? Man is depraved in his worship. As we continue on this evening, we see that man is depraved in his works. Man is depraved in his works. Verse 21, "And they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their immorality, nor of their thefts." It seems that there will be a significant increase in wickedness in that day. John uses these four words to describe the moral condition of the sinners living during the tribulation. And we basically, you know, as we go through the end of this, we just want to consider each of these four descriptive words. The first word he uses is murders. Think about it. Can you imagine a civilization Can you imagine a civilization being more murderous than the one we're living in now? I mean, can you imagine it? Hardly a day goes by here in these United States of America without us hearing about several murders here in America by the deranged or a homegrown terrorist or actual terrorists from overseas coming in to murder us. But probably, I don't know about you, but for me, probably the most painful of these is to hear about a young person who has lost all sense of reality, who has basically turned themselves over to the devil, the demonic, and has murdered his peers. That's got to be the most painful. In the name of whatever ideology they, whatever the flavor is, if it's white nationalism or some evil, some other evil variant of an ideology, right? I mean, that's got to be the most painful, right? I mean, we see our kids murdering our kids. It's mind-blowing biblical proportions. I mean, it's just hard to wrap your head around. But these mass shootings and other murders happen. Where do they happen? They happen in large towns, Pastor, but you know what? They happen in small towns. These things, these murders, these mass shootings, they happen in liberal cities, but lo and behold, they happen in pretty conservative cities too. These shootings, they happen in the Bible Belt, and they happen where there's no Bible at all, right? It's sad, isn't it, right? No place is immune from the blight of murder. People today kill others out of hatred or lust or warped ideology every day. And then you've got actual hitmen, people that kill for a living, who kill someone they don't even know if the money is right. They don't kill for hate, they kill for profit. And then there are the serial killers. People who roam the country, who roam their area, who roam their region, killing total strangers for their own perverted reasons. They kill for thrills. And then there are the abortionists. These people commit murder every day, and they're protected by the laws of the land. Now, since 2016, I praise God, as the Supreme Court changes its makeup, I praise God that these states have gotten on board with sanctity of life. I praise God that the laws of the land appear to be changing in favor of the unborn sanctity of life. Amen? However, more babies have been sacrificed on the altar of convenience and personal rights than the total number of people killed in all the concentration camps of Nazi Germany. And the question is, why are things this way? Why are things this way? Well, we've taught a generation that man descended from apes, and before that from Spooge, right? And before that he got here by the solar winds, right? As some kind of amoeba. We've taught a generation that there is no God to be accountable. We have taught a generation that every person has the ability to determine what is right and wrong for himself. Postmodernism. Our children are raised today on a steady diet of godless humanism and postmodernism, and they have no thought for the rights and property of others. Just look around and notice how rude and crude people have become. My wife was telling me this past week, I think we were on the phone, it was in the a.m., and she was going to work on the Hardy Toll Road, and nobody drives the speed limit on the Hardy. What's the speed limit on the Hardy? 65? And everybody's driving 80. Yeah, 80. Everybody's driving 80. She was going down the Hardy Toll Road one morning. I mean, if you drive 65, you're going to get run over. She was going down the Hardy one morning, and got a truck, was coming up behind, doing how fast? He's doing close to 100, right? And everybody else is doing 80. So as he would move, as people would move over, my wife could see him. He would flip people off as he drove by doing 100. Now, speed limit is 65. He's doing 35 over, but everybody else needs to, right? Can you believe it? How rude people are? Yeah. Yeah, did you get the salute too? Yeah. Right? But how rude and crude people have become. This verse teaches us that the tribulation will be marked by murders. Apparently, the violence of mankind will increase as God allows this before the final judgment. We see the word murders. We also see the word sorceries. The word sorceries comes from the word, the Greek word, pharmakia. You recognize that word because we get the modern word pharmacy from it. There are two possible interpretations for the use of this word in this verse, in this context. First, as we've already seen, the tribulation will see a marked increase in satanic worship. Second, there will also be a rise in drug abuse. Drug abuse. Now, we're seeing this takes place right before our eyes already. There was the marijuana of the 1960s. Transitioning into the 70s. That was replaced by cocaine in the 1980s, going into the early 90s, followed by crack and meth of the mid-90s to the 2000s, with heroin abuse spiking all throughout those last 50 years, up and down, up and down. Now we've moved into 2019. It's still 2019? I got the right year, 2019. Now, as a nation, here we are in 2019, and our nation's drug addiction has kind of gotten cleaned up a bit. With prescription opioid abuse. Prescription opioid abuse leading to massive amounts of people dying by overdose. And we, as a nation, state by state, are now legalizing marijuana, the gateway drug, into deeper drug use and addiction. Mind-boggling, isn't it? Mind-blowing. Yeah. It's not a big stretch when we read this stuff about the tribulation. I want you to see it's going to be bad, but it's not a real big stretch from where we're at now. The groundwork is laid for all this stuff to take place. That's really what I want you to see, right? The last mass shooting, unless there has been another this weekend, and I don't really watch the news on Sunday until I get home after Sunday night worship. The last mass shooting, unless there's been another this weekend that I have not heard of, was in Philadelphia over police officers serving a warrant tied to drugs. Six officers shot, two injured trying to get there, and all kinds of standoff. And the guy finally surrenders, they get him. But our world is busy seeking an escape hatch from its problems through the use of mind-altering drugs. And this trend will increase as we move through these last days and will reach a pandemic proportions during the tribulation. Some have even speculated, and it doesn't take me too. I'm kind of slow on the uptake, but I can see where they're coming from. Some have even speculated that governments and authorities around the world will resort to drugs to control an increasing violent population. You know, it's Tuesday. Come pick up your opioids for the week or for the month. You know, we want to keep everybody in. You know, it's dangerous out here. There's a lot going on. So just come get your free drugs and just chill out. Right? And that may be true. The governments and authorities may be using that at the very end just to keep people in check, so to speak. We look at this third word. Your Bible may say immorality. My Bible in the New American Standard Version says fornication. This is translated from the Greek word porneia, and it gives us our modern word pornography. This word in a biblical first century times context, in a biblical sense, this word porneia, that's translated fornication or immorality, this word in biblical times was used to refer to every kind of illicit sexual sin. And again, our country has already seen the free love movement, and that has led to the love-ins of the hippies. And then we've been through the sexual revolution. And then we've been through the excesses of the 80s. And from now, we've got same-sex marriage on cue. Now, you mark my words, if the Lord tarries another generation, there will be a push for lawful pedophilia with a man with a child or a a grown woman with a young boy. There will be a push for lawful pedophilia because my love cannot be defined by you. I love whomever or whatever I want. That's just, you know, that's what it is. And I'm getting there, brother. Yeah, lawful bestiality. Lawful bestiality. I was doing a spell check on bestiality for my notes. I kind of had a little come apart this afternoon. I opened up my Sunday night message. I have all of this kind of done Thursday-ish. Try to get it all done on Thursday-ish, so I got a day off. And apparently I didn't save Sunday night and shut down the computer, and about a third of Sunday night wasn't there. And I was like, whoa. And so I was trying to mine my memory. You know what I'm saying? I was trying to pull things up that I had written down 2 or 3 days ago. And praise the Lord, I think it all came back together. But I was spell checking this word, bestiality. I typed bestiality into my Google just to spell check it. Oh, my soul. I hit the return to spell check it. All of these websites, we're not even in the tribulation. All of these websites start listing down free bestiality porn. Are you kidding me? I mean, just a chikung, chikung, chikung. I could not believe my eyes. I wanted to go get the Dawn dishwashing detergent and scrub my eyes just for reading the titles, man. Right? But I did spell it correctly. That was a good thing. Amen? Bestiality, lawful bestiality. The perversion of God's gift of sex between one man and one woman in the confines of a marriage in the last days of tribulation will morph into the lifestyle. I don't know if you remember this guy, but this is where it's heading. This is where I think it's heading. Some scholars agree, some do not. But I think during the tribulation, it's going to morph into something like the lifestyle of Jeffrey Dahmer. You remember Jeffrey Dahmer? Jeffrey Dahmer grew up in an average American home, had good parents, good upbringing. Jeffrey Dahmer speaks to the depravity of the human heart. He speaks to the depravity of man. He had every opportunity to do right. He had every opportunity to be a good, upstanding citizen, every opportunity to be a God follower. But I'm telling you, the guy just kept making the wrong choice after wrong choice after wrong choice. And for Jeffrey Dahmer, it started with pornography, heterosexual pornography, and then it transitioned into homosexuality, and then it transitioned into, well, you know what? I'm going to eat you, right? I'm going to eat you. I'm going to kill you and eat you after I've had physical relations with you. And that's how I really get fulfillment, and I really reach that pleasurable plateau. I've got to eat you now, right? But that's where the world's heading. It's not going to be a place where you want to be. And if you know somebody lost, they may be pushing Jesus back. But friend, if they could just get a glimmer of what we're talking about, if they could just get a glimmer, if they could see the concern in your eyes, the passion in your voice when you want to talk to them about Christ, and you could share with them the gospel. Because, hey, man, what's at stake? This is what's coming for those that are lost. You don't want to be there. You want to be with me, right? In the throne room of God, right? So murder, sorceries, immorality, fornication. And then finally, we see this last description here, thefts. This last word, thefts. The personal rights and property of others will have no meaning at all. No meaning at all. We've already see this trend in our society as a segment of our population believes that it is their right to take away what they want, when they want, from whomever they can get it from, right? This attitude will become increasingly evident in the last days and will reach terrible proportions during the tribulation as food and water and fuel and medicine and clothing and shelter become increasingly scarce. Man will take what they want. Now, the sixth trumpet, the Bible paints the Apostle John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Bible paints a bleak picture of the events of the tribulation period. You don't agree with that, amen? Yeah. There will be death. There will be violence on an unprecedented level throughout the world. Yet in the midst of it all, men and women will continue to harden their hearts against the gospel of Christ and will continue their headlong plunge into that eternal lake of fire. It's mind-blowing, isn't it? How they could be blinded to the truth. It's mind-blowing. That is why we should do everything in our power to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Yeah. No sacrifice is too great. No distance is too vast. No expense too steep. No effort is wasted in the work of reaching men and women for Jesus Christ. Amen? I know you have that heart of evangelism in you, and I know you have that desire to see the lost saved. I'm going to close this with a word of prayer. And as I do, there's somebody you can pray for, isn't there, that's lost, that needs a Savior? There's somebody that you know that needs to receive Christ. As we pray tonight, would you lift them up? That God might get them another step closer. That there might be another seed sown in their heart. That they might choose Jesus. Aren't you thankful tonight you've chosen Jesus? Amen. Let's pray tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. And Lord, as we go through another difficult passage in the book of Revelation, Lord, it's heavy on our hearts when we think about those that we know that don't know you. Oh, Lord, they know some things about you, and they might have had a religious experience way back here, way back there, and they live in a life thinking that they are lined up okay with you, God. But, Lord, you see a life with no fruit. And, Lord, we look at their lives and we see that there's no worship in it. There's no relationship with you in it. And our hearts are just broken and burdened for them. And, Lord, I pray as each person sits in here this evening, I pray that they would just lift that name up to you right now. And they would just pray that you would save them. Lord, that you would put the circumstances in their life, that you would put the Christians to cross their path, that you would use lost people, whatever you want to use, to get the gospel message across to them, God. And Lord, we know as we pray for the lost friends and family that we know and acquaintances and neighbors, that as we pray for this, you might tap us on the shoulder and might give us a little nudge that maybe we're the next one up to sow that seed or to present that gospel or to continually pray for that individual until they receive Christ. Lord, we're so thankful tonight that we're saved. We're so thankful tonight that we're heaven-bound, that we are, as we said this morning, covered by the blood. Lord, when you see us, you see your Son. We're so blessed and thankful for that, Lord. It's a great honor and a privilege to be called your children. Lord, you're just not our Creator. You're our Father tonight. And we rejoice in that. We rest in that truth. But Lord, we know you want to bring glory and honor to yourself through the salvation of the lost. And we know lost people. Lord, we want to share with them. We don't want to browbeat them. We don't want to talk to them mean. We don't want to talk to them angry. We want to be lovers of people. We want to be lovers of them. Lord, help us lovingly share the gospel to draw them to the light so that they might see and taste who Jesus is. Father God, we pray you give us a good week this week. May we stay focused on you. May we grow in our relationship with you, God. And may you get the glory and honor for it. Lord, we just thank you for all you do for us. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you all tonight. What a peculiar people to come back and hear that. Amen. That's a tough deal. Yeah, Brother John. Men and Ladies Bible Study. Don't forget, next door, 7 o'clock, Men and Ladies Bible Study. Amen. Either saved or gluttons for punishment.